I'm going to have you go to the book of Revelation, and I'm going to take you to three different verses. All of these verses will talk about a song or singing, and all three of these verses, the singing that's taking place is taking place up in heaven. And so you got a little bit of background, something to think about, something to look for as we read Revelation chapter 5. Let's begin there, Revelation chapter 5. Verse number 9, I'm going to preach on this subject this morning, heaven songs, Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 9. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible, Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Now, if you'll go to chapter 14 in the book of Revelation, chapter 14, and look at verse number 3, chapter 14 and verse number 3. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. And then one chapter over, Revelation chapter 15, and we'll look at verse number 3. And the Bible says, And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll, Lord, help us this morning. And thank you, dear God, that I can stand here and on the authority of God's word, tell folks there is a very, very real place called heaven. And Lord, thank you for all that the Bible gives us, the information we have about heaven. Thank you, Lord, that we can have a hope, dear God, Lord, a promise from our Bible that gives us, Lord, confidence and encouragement that Lord, that there's something better awaiting us after our time here on earth. And so, Lord, as we think and as we preach about heaven songs this morning, I pray that you'd minister to each heart. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much, folks. And you could be seated. You know, singing is a part of the Christian life. And one of the things that the Bible teaches us very emphatically is that when God saves us, he changes our song and gives us a different way of singing. Psalms 40 and verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. So let me kind of lay the foundation here. And first of all, let's talk about singing down here below. It's an important part of our Christian life. I think it ministers to our hearts. And as we're just blessed by that special, and we're just blessed by the congregational singing. Our singing and the singing in our church ministers to the hearts of others. And so salvation gives us a new song. I'll put a new song in my mouth. We've had a lot of visitors, and I know folks, you know, come from different backgrounds. And one of the ladies that visited our church has been attending a more contemporary church. And unsaved, interesting, isn't that? Isn't that interesting? And yet came here and found Christ as their Savior. And she said, the one thing I haven't gotten used to yet, I'll just be honest with you, is your music. And I told her this. I said, well, you know what? You're going to listen to music differently now. Because the Bible says we're to minister to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And the kind of songs that Christ, what is this new song you have put in my mouth? It's songs that minister to our reborn spirit. See, folks, the contemporary church movement has introduced a worldly brand of fleshly music that appeals to the flesh and is trying to get the flesh to respond. But, folks, that's not spiritual music. And so I told her, hang around. And if you'll come and attend and just open your hymn book, pretty soon some of your favorite songs will be Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Folks, listen, it's like tasting new food. If you've never tasted it before and you're used to junk, you know, then at first it might taste a little strange. But if you just keep eating the right kind of food, pretty soon the junk will taste strange. Come on now, can I get an amen? So worldly music, excuse me, bothers me the way godly music bothers people that aren't saved. Amen. I can understand that. But salvation gives us a new song. Psalms 144:9. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. Psalms 149:1. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of the saints. So let's talk about the importance of music while we're down here on earth. Then we're going to transport up. And I want to show you some things about heaven, teach you some things about heaven, show you how important the heaven songs are going to be. You know, we start in salvation by learning a new song, but folks, as we gain victories in our Christian life, victories give us our glad songs. The Bible talks about these. In Psalms 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth and with my song I shall praise him. So David had a certain type of song that he sang just about his salvation. But as he engaged in battle, come on, and as he began to see victories in his Christian life, he added to his salvation songs, the new songs, he added the glad songs. And you know, I love the songs in our hymn book that just rejoice in the fact that we can be more than conquerors through Christ. That strengthens us. And then you know what, folks, come on, if we live the Christian life very long, we're going to be introduced to what David called the night songs. So salvation gives us new song, a new song. Victories give us our glad songs. But trials, come on, trials teach us the night songs. What do you talk about, preacher? Psalms 42:8. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. Psalm 77:6. I call to remembrance my song in the night. My song in the night, I commune with mine own heart and my spirit made diligent search. And so folks, you know what? There's songs that cause us just to rejoice in our salvation. And there's songs that help us celebrate the victories God gives us. And then God gives us, takes us through some tough times. And all of a sudden, there's a whole different group of songs in the hymn book that begin to start meaning something to us. I call them the night songs. There's the songs that we learn to sing, folks, from a broken heart. They're not mountaintop songs, they're valley songs. They're not victory songs. Sometimes they're songs where we're wondering whether or not we're going to make it till morning. And we learn those songs in the night. And so the trials of life teach us our night songs. And folks, listen to me. I want to say this. You know what? Sadly, and I suppose this happens to everyone. I've never met a Christian that said they didn't go through a tough time and maybe get away from the Lord a little bit. But backsliding, come on, as a Christian, backsliding can steal our heart song. It can steal our heart song. You know what Israel said in Psalms 137? It said, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. Now, wait, stop. What happened? Why are they going to Babylon? Because you know what? They sinned against God. And God sent prophet after prophet after prophet. Come on, folks. You know the story, the Old Testament story. And warned them and tried to get them to turn and tried to get them to turn. And they got farther from the Lord and farther from the Lord. And God finally let them go into captivity. And so they said, by the rivers of Babylon, they're being taken into captivity. There we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. You know, even the lost like to hear Christians sing the song. Come on, the songs, the new song, the glad songs, the night songs. There's something about that even resonates with heathen people. And so they said, sing us some of those songs. But you know what? They hung their harps up in the trees and they had lost their heart song. You know why? Because sin, come on, folks, sin will steal your songs. You know, I'm not going to name names. I could. But I think of so many different young people and adults that have graced this stage at times and sang some of the most beautiful songs. And it came from a pure heart and a right heart. And God used them to minister to us. But folks, if you went and found them today, when's the last time they've sung any of those songs? What happened? The devil stole their song. Hey, don't let sin steal your song, Christian. Come on, don't let the devil steal your song. And they got away from the Lord. And the next thing, they said that they that carried us away captive required of us song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Hey, folks, listen to me. Don't let the devil steal your song. I'm hoping one of those people, for some reason, listen to this message this morning and know that they've got a preacher that still loves them and a church that still loves them, and God's not done with them yet. And you know what? Hey, God can give you your song back. He can give you your song back. How do you know that? Because David found his song when he repented in Psalms 51. The psalmist lost his song for a while. But in Psalms 51, he's finally got right with the Lord and turned to the Lord. And he writes now about grace songs. Come on now. Even if you get away from the Lord and backslide for a while, when you come out of that, there's a new group of songs in the songbook that all of a sudden you say, you know what? I understand why they were written and who wrote them. And I know what that is to be away from the Lord. And God, restore me and forgive me. And I call them grace songs. And he said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. So he spends the first 11 verses repenting and getting right. Verse 12, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirits. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from the blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. And so, hey, if you've lost your song, I got good news. You can get it back. You can get it back. So singing is an important part of the Christian life while we are here on earth. But I want to talk about heaven this morning, and I want to talk about heaven's songs. You see, singing is an important part of the Christian life while we're here, but singing will also be an important part of our eternal life when we get to heaven one of these days. Three different places in the book of Revelation, we went and looked at where the saints of God are singing heaven songs. Some of them are going to be new songs and songs that we've never heard before. I think so. We're going to sing it just, by the way, you okay to sing a little more this morning, all right? We're going to sing some heaven songs. I like the heaven songs in the songbook, but I'm going to tell you, the people that did the best they could writing songs about heaven, don't you think those same people, when they get to heaven, might be able to write a little bit better songs? Don't you think the God of the universe has written some beautiful songs? He will teach us new songs about a place that we couldn't even imagine. One of the most blessed groups of songs that we find in our hymn book are heaven songs. God has used the preaching of the Bible and the Word of God to inspire men and women all through the ages to put pen to paper and write beautiful songs about eternity future, about heaven and all that we'll enjoy there. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about heaven for a while, and because I want to do that first. And then I want us to sing about heaven. And as I teach you a little bit about heaven, and later on we sing a little bit about heaven, you're going to see different things in these songs and say, yeah, you know what? That's from the Bible. And yes, that's from the Bible. And oh, I didn't know that was from the Bible. And so let's just enjoy ourselves a little this morning. What awaits us in heaven challenges the human imagination, folks. What's going to be the greatest thing about heaven? I don't know, but I think it's just going to be the presence of the Lord. I think it's going to be the presence of the Lord. Revelation 21:3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And so think about that. Revelation chapter 21, verse 22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And then Revelation 22, verse 3 and 4, I love this. And there shall be no more curse, But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Listen to what it says next. And they shall see his face. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. I think the greatest thing about heaven is going to be God. I think it's going to be a chance to look at my heavenly Father and to get to know him in a way I've never been able to get to know him, and to see my Jesus and get to know him in a way that I've never been able to get to know him, and to be able to interact with the Holy Spirit of God in a way that I've never been able to interact, and to thank him for the help that he was and get me through this thing called life. Folks, listen, maybe the greatest thing about heaven is just the fact that God's there. And then on top of that, God gives us and has prepared for us this incredible, beautiful, eternal home. There's so many things about heaven as we go through the scripture. We talk about, the Bible talks about the light of heaven, where it says it has the glory of God, and our light was light unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. We had some of y'all notice the other night that the northern lights came this far south, I guess, you know, and some of the folks were posting pictures and telling me about it and calling and texting us and saying, go outside. And I'm sorry, I've been in Alaska and seen the real thing, so I wasn't all that impressed, but I'm glad some of you got to see some of it. But, you know, you think of what that does, and it stops the entire world, and everybody stares and looks, and then I think about what heaven's going to look like one of these days. Are you kidding me? The light of heaven. How about the construction of heaven, the walls of heaven, the gates of heaven, the foundations of heaven, 12 jeweled foundations of the New Jerusalem, 12 gates of pearls, streets of gold. And the gold is so pure, it's transparent like glass, walls of jasper. Folks, this isn't a fantasy story or a fairy tale. These things you will see as a child of God one of these days with your own eyes. I think about the fountain and the river of life, and I know I'm going quickly. And he said unto me, it is done. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto them that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And then this beautiful picture of the throne of God. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb. So folks, we see the light, and then we see the fountain, and we see the river of life. We see those walls of jasper and the gates of pearl, 12 gates, and the jeweled foundation of the New Jerusalem, the tree of life. Think about that. That's going to be amazing to this preacher. If you can't find me for a while, I may just be walking in circles around the bottom of the tree of life, just in wonderment of what God now has given us free access to. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And then the mansions that Jesus prepared for us. Folks, listen, aren't we doing the best we can? But it challenges the human imagination. I mean, as much as I'd like to picture, as much as I think I might be seeing parts of it, I think we're going to get to heaven and just say, we couldn't have even imagined this. Amen. Jesus said this, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Hey, Jesus promised it. I'll bank on that promise. I'll bank on that promise. We're going to get to see the new heaven and the new earth created, Revelation 21:1. We're going to receive glorified bodies. Folks, think about this. Okay, I get this prayer request, and as soon as I read it, I thought about what I was going to preach this morning. It says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Brother Tom, one of these days, mama's not going to hurt anymore. She's not going to hurt anymore. Whew. For the former things are passed away. Then you think about who we get to hang out with when we're up there. And good night. You think of all the angelic creations and angelic beings. I mean, that's going to be fun. But also to be able to hang out with all of the saints of all of the ages, to be able to talk and walk and hear their stories in person and know what we know from the Bible, but for them to be able to fill in the gaps and answer questions and tell us some things that God just chose not to include in his word, but just happened just as real. Think about that. And so one of the things we don't have to worry about is that, you know what, the wrong kind of people aren't going to be there, and the right kind of people are going to be there, because the redeemed of all of the saints of God will be there. And then I think about the joy, and I think that's one of the things that, you know, we kind of try to imagine, we try to picture all of these different things, the tree of life and the fountains and the river of life and the foundations and the gates, and these are tangible things, but maybe one of the things that the Bible talks the most about that we don't say enough about is just the joy that we're going to experience. You know how throughout this life you're giving those moments of just almost pure heaven joy? Something just happens and God just fills you with His presence. And for just maybe for a short amount of time, you're just walking around just feeling like, wow, you know, and then sadly, the next thing in life and the next thing in life, and that kind of fades away. But I don't think that's ever going away. I just think the Bible promises it. There shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them life, and they shall reign forever and ever. Think of the eternity of joy and the eternity of praise. Folks, it's going to go on forever and ever and ever. John 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All of a sudden you get there and you realize, you know what? This isn't just for a year or two. This isn't for 70. This isn't for, if I'm lucky, I might live into my 80s or 90s, or the rare person that gets to, you know what, turn the odometer over to 100, you know. This is forever. Amen. This is never going to end. I've got this home for all eternity. I think that when that really sinks in, you know what? Wow, it's going to be pure joy. Well, that's what some of the things that are going to be in heaven. Preacher, what will not be in heaven? There's going to be no death, Revelation 21:4. There's going to be no sorrow, no crying, no pain, no sun, no moon, no night, no sin. Think about this. There's going to be some things that I call Bible heaven no-nos, okay? There's going to be some things that God doesn't allow in. And so God's going to say there's going to be no more curse of sin, and there's going to be no more time, no more time, no more time. Every time I think about this verse that tells us that, you know, time will be no more, I think about Brother Bob Hamlin, who, by the way, came and preached at this church, I mean, scores of times, folks, and he was known to be a little bit of a long-winded preacher, okay? And he used to say that during the millennial reign, he's going to ask the Lord if he can get in a pickup truck and with a shotgun and a whole bed full of shotgun shells, and he just wants to spend the 1,000-year millennial reign driving around to all the churches, walking in and shooting the clock off the back window or the back wall, just shooting the clock off the back wall. So his greatest nemesis to preaching was the clock hanging on the back wall. Hey, we won't have to worry about time when we get there. Folks, find your songbook there. Miss Lauren, could I have you help me out with this? I want us to be reminded of a place this morning, folks, and so I've reminded you with the scripture, so now let's remind ourselves through the songs. Verse 46, is that what you sang, Brother Nathan, a little bit of time ago, verse 46? Brother Nathan, can I have you come up too and help me out a little bit on this? You can just kind of stand here with me and keep me a little bit on cue. I sometimes wander a little bit. You know, I feel restricted by these black dots, and sometimes I decide they might not be in the exact place they need to be, but so I do need a little guidance up here. I do need, no talking, please. I do need a little guidance up here, and so let's sing My Savior First of All. When my life earth descended and I crossed the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and His smile shall be the first to welcome me. Think about this, seeing Jesus, I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand.
I shall know him, I shall know him by the print of the nails in his.
We talked about that joy, verse 2.
Oh, the soul thrilling rapture when I view his blessed face and the luster of his kindly beaming eye. How my full heart shall praise him for mercy, love, and grace that prepare for me a mansion in the sky. I shall know him, I shall know him, and redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the print of the nails in his.
Think about your loved ones on verse 3.
Oh, the dear ones in glory, how they beckon me to come.
It's good.
To the sweet vales of Eden, they will sing my welcome home. But I long to meet my Savior first of all. I shall know him, I shall know him, and redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the print of the nails in his.
Let's go to page number 60, face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face. What will it be? You say, preacher, you said the best part of heaven. What will it be?
It'll be seeing his face. I shall see his face.
Think about that. Wow.
Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by.
Think about verse 2. This is amazing. Think about it.
Only faintly now I see him with the darkening veil between.
Come on now.
But a blessed day is coming when his glory shall be seen. Face to face I shall behold him far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by.
Let's go to verse 41. I'm not sure this wasn't the offertory today. I'm not sure. Was that right? The offertory? Don't you love the way God works? Amen. Think about that. Amen.
There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful.
Think about those heaven songs, verse 2.
We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed. and our spirit shall sorrow no more. Not a sigh for the blessing of rest in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Paul talked about this light affliction that's just going to be for a moment. He talks about all that he went through. Think about this. All that he went through, and he talks about this light affliction that is just for a moment. Folks, don't forget, this is a vapor. This is a vapor. Hang in there, Christians. Amen. I know God asks us to go through some hard things. I know it's tough. I know the devil seems like he's winning. But folks, listen to me. You know what? I've read the end of the book. I know who wins. And at the end of this whole thing, you know where we're going to be? We're going to be up there singing heaven songs. Number 52, verse number 1. There waits for me a glad tomorrow, where gates of pearl swing open wide. Think about that.
There waits for me a glad tomorrow, where gates of pearl swing open wide. And when I've passed this veil of sorrow, I'll dwell upon the other side. Someday, beyond the reach of mortal ken, someday, God only knows just where and when, the wheels of mortal life shall all stand still, and I shall go to dwell on Zion's hill.
Verse 2.
Someday I'll sing angels singing beyond the shadows of the tomb, and all the bells of heaven ringing while saints are singing home sweet.
Let's sing verse number 3. Here we go.
Someday my labor will be ended, and all my wanderings will be o'er, and all earth's broken ties be mended, and I shall sigh and weep no more.
On the chorus.
Someday, beyond the reach of mortal ken, someday, God only knows just where, the wheels of mortal life shall all stand still, and I shall go to dwell on Zion.
64. Shall we gather at the river where bright angel feet have trod, with its crystalline tide forever flowing by the throne of God?
Woo! Shall we gather at the river where bright angel feet have trod, with its crystal tide forever flowing by the throne of God?
Listen to the answer. Yes,
yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful, the beautiful river, and gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God.
Let's sing that last verse. Here we go.
Soon we'll reach the shining river. Soon our pilgrimage we'll see.
Think about it.
Soon,
yep.
Come on. The with the melodies of peace.
Oh, let's lift it up.
Yes, we'll gather at the river. Gather
Nathan, I think you know this a little better than I do, so I'm going to let you sneak over in front of the mic here, and I'll come over here. I'll be your wingman on this one.
I have heard of a land on the far away strand. 'Tis a beautiful home of the soul, built by Jesus on high. There it never shall die. 'Tis the land where we never grow.
Folks, it's real. It's real. Hang in there, Christian. It's real.
Think about this.
When my life
on the happy old
resting place. Let me ask you a question. Are you 100% sure if you died today that you would go to heaven?
Because you can know that. God wants you to know it. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Jesus promised that he would go and prepare a place for us. But you know what, folks? He also said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And by the way, everybody around you that's saved, everybody around you that says, yes, I know for sure I'm going to heaven, they weren't born saved. There was a time they weren't going to heaven. There was a time they were not saved. And folks, they had to come to a day, a time where they realized they were a sinner and there wasn't a thing that they could do to save themselves. But you know what? Somebody shared the gospel story with them that Jesus loved them and he died for their sins and he was buried and rose again the third day, died and paid for our sins, rose from the dead, defeated death, and now he can offer to us the gift of eternal life. That's pretty great. That's pretty great. But you know what, folks? Jesus can create this gift and he has, and he can buy this gift and he did. And he can wrap it up and hold it out to you, the gift of eternal life. But every single one of us has to come to a point in our time, where, point in time in our life where we humble ourselves, realize we're a sinner, turn to Christ and receive that gift of eternal life. And if you can't remember a time in your life when you've done that, here's the good news. You can do it this morning. You can do it this morning. Let's all bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for us just being able to sing some heaven songs. And Lord, they're the earthly versions, I guess. It's the best we can do, and they are beautiful. And they touch our heart and they touch our soul. But Lord, I think one of these days when we get to heaven and we sing those new songs, we're going to realize just how far off, just how much we couldn't have imagined, just how much we couldn't have even known enough to write about. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for opening the door to heaven. Thank you for sending your Son. Lord, I pray if there's someone here that's never received you as personal Savior, that they'd be saved today.